So, well, let's pray together. We're glad you're here today. Lord, thank you for each one who's here with us to worship you and to sing your praises. And Lord, as we look around and we feel the joy and the fellowship in this place, remind us of the family that we are part of here, your family, as we smile and we enjoy this time together. Speak to us, teach us, change us to be more like you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's a good song, Jason. Good selection with Easter coming up, right? Incredible. Did what? Irene picked it out. Well, well, good job, Irene. It just reminded me how Satan must have felt when he realized Jesus was coming back. And then Jesus did, and Satan was like scared to death, just getting out of there. And Jesus gives us that same ability to come out of the graves we find ourselves in and have life more victorious here and one day totally victorious in heaven. But that's another sermon. Easter's in a couple of weeks, not today. Many of us know all too well the story of the Titanic's maiden voyage. We either studied it or we saw the movie or multiple movies or we watched the History Channel, and we know the story. It was an 882-foot vessel, 2.5 football lengths of ship that was leaving Southampton, England, bound for New York City. But just before midnight, April 14, 1912, the Titanic struck a massive iceberg in the Atlantic Ocean, and it sank about 400 miles south of Newfoundland. More than 1,500 people died from that accident. Among the debris of the ship littering the ocean floor was a single piece of equipment that might have made a difference between the Titanic crashing into the iceberg or not. What was found down there was a singular pair of binoculars. In the years that followed, one question dogged the Titanic. Could those binoculars have been used to see the iceberg in plenty of time so the Titanic could have gotten out of the way? The crew up in the crow's nest would have used them, but there was a problem. The binoculars were locked in a locker in the crow's nest. And a gentleman by the name of David Blair, who was leaving the Titanic to go help another ship, forgot to put the key up there. He had the key in his pocket. One of the things he should have remembered, he absolutely forgot to do. And the Titanic could not see that iceberg until it was too late. Did you ever forget the most important thing in an ingredient in some food you were making? A part when you were fixing something? Did you ever forget the most important thing? We have a tendency to do that from time to time. This morning I want to share a message with you entitled, Remembering What Matters Most. Because sometimes we forget. Remembering what matters most. Why do we allow ourselves, our bodies, our emotions, our schedules, our budgets to get overloaded? The answer is the same to all of them, because we try to do too much. So the question becomes, why are we always trying to do too much? The answer is because we forget what matters most. Instead of focusing on a few things of life that really count, that really matter, that really make a difference, we try to do a little bit of everything, and we get overloaded. We need to ask God, we need to pray to God to remind us what's most important in life, to help us remember what matters most so we can keep the focus on what it needs to be on. Because when we focus on what really counts, then we can accomplish what God wants and we can enjoy the blessings He has for us. We need to pray what David prayed in Psalm 39, verse 4. Look on your outlines. Psalm 39, verse 4 says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Can I get a testimony on that? Psalm 90, verse 12 puts it this way, teach us to make the most of our time. Why? Because time really does fly. So this morning, I want to look at three truths that we need to remember to help us focus our lives on what really matters most. Number one, fill this in your outline as we go along. The best use of life is love. The best use of life is love. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, let love be your highest goal. Underline the last two words in that verse, your highest goal. We need to make love our number one priority. It needs to be our number one objective. It needs to be our greatest ambition. It needs to be our life purpose. Don't put it somewhere in your top 10. Don't say one of these things, one of these days I'm going to follow the way that God told me to live out lovingly in my... No, it needs to be number one now. Now, why does God say life is all about love? Why does God say to make love our highest goal? Two reasons. First of all, God says love is what life is all about. 1 Corinthians 13:3. No matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. You can have $1 million in the bank, but if you don't have love, God says you're bankrupt. It's amazing to me that too often we act like loving relationships are something we have to squeeze into our busy schedule. We have to find some way to make time for loving relationships as it's kind of important, but not as important as everything else going on. God says loving relationships are your life. One day a guy came to Jesus. He said, Jesus, I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to give me the cliff notes. Give me the cliff notes of the whole Bible. Summarize the Bible for me, Jesus, and here's what Jesus said. Look at these verses, Matthew 22, verse 39. Jesus said, okay, I'll give you a summary. Here it is. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love people. That's it, in a word, in a nutshell. Jesus is saying the point of life is relationships and to love people in relationship with them. Life is not about achievement. It's not about acquisition of things. It's about relationships. If you miss that, listen, if you miss that, you miss the entire point of life. That's the bottom line. What matters most are loving relationships. Now, if that's really true, why do we allow our relationships sometimes to get the short end of the stick? We overload ourselves far too much. We fulfill all kinds of other commitments, but we cut back in our relationships with others. We don't give our relationships the time and the energy and the attention they deserve because we're too busy with what we think is important in life at the time. And I understand at the time it can look that way, but it's really not. Before long, your life has gone along a day at a time, a week at a time, a month at a time, a year at a time, a decade at a time, and you get back into your later years of life and you realize, I really haven't invested lovingly with people all around me. We spend our time focusing on making a living, getting the job done, finishing the work, paying the bills, making progress, accomplishing the goal as if that's the point of life, and it's not. The point of life, God says, is love in the context of relationships. And that doesn't mean you have to be married. Relationships with family, relationship with friends. The other reason that God says you need to focus on love is this. Love will last forever. Love will last forever. Everything else eventually is going to burn up, folks. It's going to decay. It's going to fall apart. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, there are three things that will endure. Faith, hope, and what? Love. And the greatest of these is what? Love. If I were to ask of you today, how many of you want to leave a legacy after you die? We probably would all raise our hands. We want to leave a legacy after we die. If I were to ask, how many of you want to make a difference with your life? And you'd say, yeah, I'd like to do that. How many of you would like to make a positive influence of this world that outlasts you and say, yeah, I want to do that? Well, God has shown us how to leave a legacy. He's shown us how to make a lasting impression. Fill your life with love. Not work, not wealth. Love gives you a lasting legacy. Observe people when they're in their last days, folks. Now, as many of you know, I work at a hospital. I'm a hospital chaplain, Mount Pleasant Hospital. And I see this all the time. I see this all the time. When people are in their last days, observe them. Watch them in their closing moments of their last days, and they stand on the edge of eternity, and they're evaluating life. I've never had one person say, hey, could you go get me my diplomas? I want to look at them one more time. Get me that gold watch I got for 40 years of service to my company. Show me my rewards. Get my medals. Show me my bank account. They never ask for that. Never. Nobody asked to be brought trophies. What do they ask for? People. People who they have a loving relationship with. Here's the point. We're all eventually going to figure out that what matters most are relationships. So why don't you figure it out now? Why do you want to wait till you're in your last years or in your last months or in your last days? Figure it out now and put those loving relationships first in your life and let everything else fall to the wayside. I'm not saying you don't need to pay your bills. I'm not saying you ignore the other stuff, but you put the relationships first. You make them paramount. One day God's going to ask us, how did you treat other people when you were here on earth? How did you lovingly relate to others? I would encourage you, every morning you get up, before your feet hit the floor, maybe you're still laying in bed, you're sitting on the edge of your bed, just make a mental prayer to God. God, make this day be a day, somehow, somewhere, with someone else, that I can do something that will show love in the context of a relationship. God's first law of relationships is that it's the best use of life. It's love. Love is the best use of life. The second one is this. The best expression of love is time. You spell love T-I-M-E. Now, if you're a teacher out there, just chill. You really do spell love, T-I-M-E. Your students put that down, just give them some grace, give them some love, give them credit. I heard Pastor Kevin say it. Well, he doesn't always say the right thing, Johnny. The best use expression of love is time, and you spell love T-I-M-E. 1 John 3:18 says this, we must show love through actions that are sincere, not through empty words. If you say you love someone, if you tell them you love them, and you're not giving them any time, you are kidding yourself. What's the most desired gift of love? Diamonds? No. Roses? No. Chocolate? No. The best expression of love is time. And if that's the case, then fill this one in. The best use of time is focused attention. The most desired gift of love is focused attention. People want to see your eyes. They want you to give them your time and to listen and to focus on them and to communicate with them and to fellowship with them. They want you. They want your focused attention. You ever talk with somebody and you're in conversation and they're just kind of out looking over here and they're kind of looking down at their watch and their phone? Does that ever happen to you? And you're just sitting there going, they don't even care. I just want them here with me right now. I think the most precious gift you can give anybody is your time. It's the most precious and the most desired gift because time is your life. It is a precious commodity, and you can't create any more of it. God already decided the number of years, months, days, hours, and seconds that you're going to live, and you don't get any more. You can get more money, but you can't get more time. And every time you give someone your time, you're giving them a portion of yourself. The essence of a relationship is how much we give ourselves to each other. That's what the relationship is all about, giving yourself to them. Reminds me of the time when a boy whose father worked long hours asked his dad how much he made per hour. The dad was real reluctant. He didn't really want to discuss his finances with his child, but he said, okay, I'll tell you, I make $20 an hour. And the boy said, okay, Dad, can I have $9? He says, what do you need $9 for? He said, I just need $9, please. So the busy dad pulled money out of his pocket and he counted out $9 to him. And just as the dad was walking out of the bedroom door, the son took some money out from under his pillow. So he took his dad's money and his money and he counted it all together. And the dad was a little miffed and he said, hey, if you already had money, why are you asking me for more money? At that time, the boy counted out his money to his dad, and he said, 18, 19, 20. Dad, I want to buy an hour of your time. Don't get to that place, folks. Don't get to that place. Nothing can take the place of time. All the money in the world can't replace your time with your wife, your husband, your kids, those you love, your family, your friends, your co-workers. Whenever you give your time, you're making a sacrifice. And that's what love is all about. Ephesians 5:2, look what Paul wrote there. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. Folks, love needs to be sacrificial. It needs to cost you something. If not, it's not real love. You may call it that, but it's not. You can give without loving, but you cannot love, legitimately love, without giving. Maybe it's giving up something, giving up your ambitions, giving up your preferences, giving up your likes, giving up your particular thing that you think is so fun, giving up your energy, your time. You give it up to benefit, to love someone else in the context of a relationship. Many folks are living time-starved relationships. They live in the same home, but they're passing each other day and night like ships with a goodbye kiss here and there, and their relationship is shriveling, it's shrinking, it's drying for lack of attention. How can you have more time for those you love? There's some practical things we can do. Turn off the TV, unplug the computer. Don't just turn your phone off. Give it to the other person so you can't turn it back on. I'm not saying throw your TV away. I'm not saying throw your computer away. I'm not saying throw your phone away. I'm saying you need to start minimizing that stuff so you have time and can give attention to other people who want and who need your love. And don't just need your love, you need to love them. You need to be in a relationship where you can share and talk and laugh and cry. So if you want to put this to practical application for yourself this week, spend 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day with everyone that you have, who you consider to be a good friend, a family member, in relation, 15 minutes a day where you just clear the board and spend time with them. Talk, you can just sit, you can grab something to eat. Share that love together. The best use of life is love, and the best expression of love is time. That's how you express it. Give them focused attention. And number three, the best time to love is now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when you get back from the trip, not later, not when things settle down, not when you reach a certain standard of living. The best time to love is now. If you don't do it now, you're going to miss it, and you're going to miss it next week, and you're going to miss it the week after that. And before you know it, a year, 2 years, 10 years, 50 years, 60 years is going to go by, and you're going to sit back one day and reluctantly say, I missed it. And you don't get that time back. Look what Paul said in Galatians 6:10 regarding showing your love now. Paul said, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. When should you show your love? Whenever. Whenever you have the opportunity to do it. Don't miss that opportunity. I think if you don't want to miss those opportunities, you need to be looking for them. Some of us, you need to be hit upside the head with a 2x4, right? Sometimes we're just not very good. Hey, let somebody you love into your life and say, hey, hit me with the 2x4 if I'm missing some things, because I want to show that love, and I don't want to miss them. I don't want to miss those opportunities. Paul also said in Ephesians 5:16, use every chance you have for doing good. How often should we show our love? Every chance we get. Every chance. And in Proverbs 3:27, whenever you possibly can, do good to those who need it. Never tell your neighbor to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. Because you don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow, and you don't know if they're going to be here tomorrow. Just take time now. And if that applies to your neighbors, it certainly applies to your families, to your friends, to your coworkers, to your fellow students. There are some activities in life that are just, they're just not that important, and we could put them off to show love to others. It should be the top priority of life. Why is now really the best time to express our love? Because circumstances change. People move away or they die. Children grow up and they leave home and they don't come back as much as you hoped they would. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. If you want to express love to others, you need to do it now. George McGovern, y'all remember George McGovern back in the early 1970s? He actually was a presidential candidate in 1972, and he wrote a book about his daughter, Terry, who died of alcoholism. In 1994, Terry was found frozen to death in a snowbank where she'd fallen in a drunken stupor. After his daughter died, McGovern pored over her diaries and talked to her friends to try to figure out what she was thinking. And he discovered that he was not as good a father as he thought he'd been. While McGovern was spending 18 hours a day fighting for political causes, his daughter, Terry, was at home writing in her diary that she missed her daddy. But he probably didn't miss her because he didn't spend any time with her. McGovern wrote in Advice to Parents, "Show more love to your kids by spending more time with them, especially during the adolescent years. No matter what it costs, even your career, that way neither of you will have regrets." Then he writes this, "I'd give everything I have, and I mean everything, for one more afternoon with Terry, just to tell her how much I love her, and to have one more of those happy times that we used to have all too infrequently." Now, I don't need to have that experience in my life to learn what he's trying to teach me. The question is not if we're ever going to regret this frantic, paced, overloaded, stressed-to-the-limit lifestyle that most of us live. The question is when. When it's too late, after the family is gone, we need to remember now what matters most. Love people now. So what are you going to do? You ready to change around your priorities? You ready to change around your behaviors? You ready to change around your attitudes? You ready to change it around what you're actually going to do to make sure people around you experience the love that you want to share with them? What excuse are you going to give for not putting sharing love with others first? Who do you need to start spending more time with? What do you need to cut out of your schedule? The best use of life is love. The best expression of love is time. And the best time to love is when? Now. So how do you want to be remembered one day? You say, oh, I got years for that. Maybe not. How do you want to be remembered one day? What do you want your kids or your family or your friends or your church family? What do you want people to think about you one day when you pass, when you die? I hope you want to be remembered by what really matters most. And that is sharing loving relationships with everyone that you absolutely can. Give people your time, give people your attention, do it now. Remember what matters most. And start doing that today. Now, we have Easter coming up in a couple of weeks. I think one of the most loving things you can do between now and Easter is simply to invite someone to Easter. In America, it goes, I think, up to 84% or something of the people in America that are invited to Easter will come. But they need an invite. We made it easy for you. First of all, just invite him to Easter. Hey, I'm going anywhere to Easter. I'm going, we have a church. Just come on. You don't have to pressure him. And we also give you this card. Are these in the bulletins again? You sure they are? Are they? No? Did we give all these out already? Where's John when I need him? Back here? All right. Post people at all the exits and hand them out. Just say, hey, love for you to come to Easter. Put it in their hand because then they can see where it is and what time. It's good to go. That is loving someone because you want them to have the opportunity. If they're not a believer, you want them to have the opportunity to become a believer. If they are a believer, but they're, you know, they've kind of gotten out of the habit of coming into church, it's an opportunity for them to come and get back in that habit. It is a wonderful way for you to express love to people, sometimes people you don't even know. So make use of those. Show your love. Share the love of God. Invite them to Easter. All right? And John says he's got a ton of cards in the back. We're going to give them out. Pray with me, please. God, I want to thank you for reminding us today of something we know. I don't know that there's anything new this morning. We know that love is the most important thing we can do to show others, just to love them and show others your love, is to be a part of their lives, is to accept them, spend time with them, encourage them, uplift them. But God, sometimes we get our priorities out of order. We get too tired to spend time with someone. We get too tired to listen. We get too tired to give them focused attention. And so while there may not be anything new this morning, there's some good stuff here that we needed to be reminded of. And I pray now, Holy Spirit, you would take what we've shared through your word and through the music and the worship, and you will use it now to work in our minds, our hearts, our lives, to respond to this in a way that you want us to, in a way that we need to. So help us to quit being so busy about things that don't really matter as much. To take time today and tomorrow and this week and the next month and the next year, for the rest of our lives down here on earth, to show and share love with people. And help us, God, to do so in such a way that changes lives. Now bless this part of our worship, Lord, where we have a chance to conscientiously respond to what you're sharing with us and telling us and teaching us. Maybe today you'll help us to cross paths with somebody that we just need to show love to. May we become consistent in that. Have your will and way done during this time of response, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's pray and we'll go. Lord, thank you for the challenge that we've had today to do good and to love and to show love to others and honor you and love you and do it now. Do it right now, Lord. Thank you for that challenge. We take it with us from this place and we are different people today because we have come into your house. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.